our great national parks. The Netflix docuseries takes viewers to places like the Chilean Patagonia, Kenya's Tsavo National Park, and the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary in California.
Around the world, the more isolated the national park, the more unusual its creatures, and the more extraordinary their behaviors.
You may recognize that voice. The series is narrated by former President Barack Obama, who is also an executive producer. He just won an Emmy for Outstanding Narrator. In April, Jane Clayson spoke with series producer Sophie Todd and executive producer James Honeyborn.
How did this project come together with President Obama as narrator and executive producer? James?
Well, we connected with President Obama and Michelle Obama's production company, Higher Ground, through Netflix, and they suggested we partner, given the ongoing work we were doing with Wild Space Productions here in Bristol. And we knew President Obama had protected more public lands and waters than any other US president in history. So it just seemed a very natural fit for us to work together in celebrating wilderness and wildlife by framing a series around national parks. And we went on to collaborate with the team at Higher Ground, really from our initial development phase all the way through to finishing the series. And many of the locations were chosen because of the personal connection to the president.
You say in the series that national parks are one of America's great ideas, Sophie, exported to countries around the world. 15% of land and 8% of the world's oceans are protected?
Yeah. It shifts slightly all the time, but we're looking at about that much at the moment, which is an incredible achievement. It's one idea that has, as you say, spread around the globe and that we can all agree is something that we've done positively in the natural world.
We know that climate change and deforestation and pollution and human development are all things that threaten our wild places. But this series focuses on the positives, areas that are being preserved and restored. Give us an example of that in the series, James.
I think a really good example is in the second episode when we go down to southern Chile, to the region that we know of as Patagonia. And there in recent years, we have seen many new parks being formed. We've seen old agricultural fencing coming down and a whole landscape being restored to its wild state. And as these parks have been put together, they've also been sort of connected. So wildlife can now spread naturally, more easily across the landscape. And it really is a great expression of what can be done and the power of nature to return and in some cases to really thrive again, to bounce back once the sort of the pressure of humanity comes off. And ultimately, we're going to have to find ways of coexisting with nature. So seeing this and seeing how it can happen and how we can have a thriving wilderness alongside humanity, that's what's so inspiring. And we see that in the Monterey episode, for example, the fourth episode in the series. So every episode has got its own story to tell. And together, they hopefully give us a good perspective of the importance of wilderness and why we need a good relationship with it today.
Well, the cinematography is remarkable. We're used to seeing this kind of documentary experience on the BBC or PBS, but how you captured lemurs leaping through the jagged stone forest in Madagascar or mountain gorillas in Rwanda, the largest green turtle nesting site in the world. There's a hippo spending his days in freshwater lagoons in the Luango National Park, then heading to the beach. Let's listen to a bit of that.
He heads straight for the surf. His 3-ton frame feels lighter in salt water. The waves wash away parasites and soothe the scrapes and bruises of the day.
Talk a little bit about how you film some of these animals, even insects, up close and so vividly, Sophie.
Well, we have a whole range of new technology that's at our fingertips, everything from the latest drones, which allow us to be up in the air for longer and capture images. As you say, we wouldn't be able to physically walk there. But now, thanks to drones, like the sequence that you mentioned with the hippos allows us to see the hippos taking to the surf and moving, using the currents to travel down the beach. And we also filmed some hippos in Tsavo using new underwater cameras. And it's the housing that allows the camera to stay underwater and be submerged for longer, which means animals can be habituated to the camera and they just ignore them. You know, their life continues around the camera. And then after they've moved off, after days, we can go back and pick the camera up and just see that underwater world that you'd never have the opportunity to see before. And it's just wonderful to look at this material.
Can I just add into that as well? Because I just think it's so exciting to share the idea that as well, just because we're staking out places with these cameras and these new technologies, we get to see things that haven't actually been recorded before.
Mm. How long did the series take to make, and how many crews did you have around the world?
We had 33 expeditions to 10 countries, 5 continents, filming for over 1,500 days. But we also were working quite a lot with people in each country, which would allow us obviously to minimise air travel, but also helped us so much when the pandemic hit, because we had to pull crews back, or people couldn't get in to go and do shoots. So we were relying on people in country, and they were giving us such a unique and rare perspective of their national parks, because of course to them, that they're their backyards, they're the places that they're the most connected to. And I hope that that comes through in the series. You just get that sense of really being in these places.
You create narratives about these animals and about these places, how these animals hunt, raise their young, some of the clever symbiotic relationships that they have with other animals. And if you wonder why biodiversity in these wild places is so important to protect, we learn in the series that a quarter of all our medicines have originated in rainforests. How do these national parks help scientists study the animals that live there? James?
Well, I think we're still discovering so much all the time. And actually, a really good example of that is when we're filming in Gunung Lhotse National Park. And we wanted to film something called the hammerhead worm, which is a very small but fiercely predatory worm that lives on the forest floor. And the species we found turned out to be an entirely new species, unknown to science. And you suddenly realize that everywhere you look in a place like a rainforest, there are still new discoveries to be made. And then if you just take one animal, like the sloth, for example, and look into its fur, as we do in the first episode, you see that there's this entire microcosm of life within that. So, it really is almost everywhere we look, we find new things. And I think that's the excitement about working with scientists, but also sharing the things we find with them. And when you find a new species or a new behavior, it really is very exciting.
We have a clip of the sloth. I love that story. The sloths that live in the Manuel Antonio National Park in Costa Rica. Algae growing on the sloth's fur, along with 80 different microspecies. Let's listen.
That's why scientists believe that this sloth could now benefit all of us. He's like a tiny pharmaceutical factory. Fungus in his fur produces chemicals that have the potential to fight cancer, malaria, and antibiotic-resistant superbugs.
And he continues, these sloths might just save all of us, Sophie.
Well, yes. And in a way, it could be something on the sloth's fur, but it could be any one of these animals. There's so many solutions within the rainforest and so much potential that we have yet uncovered. And we're losing these spaces at an exponential rate. So that's why protecting national parks and creating more of them is so important.
James Honeyborn is executive producer, Sophie Todd's series producer of the new Netflix documentary series, Our Great National Parks. It was really wonderful to watch. So enjoyable. Thank you for your work.
Thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you today.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
And the filmmakers have partnered with the Wildlife Conservation Society on an advocacy campaign.